Tell me where you were on 9/11 when the attack happened.
I was supposed to be covering the Democratic primary on September 11th, so it was going to be a very late night for me. My day was going to start at about 6 or 7 p.m., so I was still asleep when my boss at the time woke me up to tell me that a plane had hit the World Trade Center and he needed me to go find the mayor and the police commissioner. And I was a bit incredulous by this, and I did not think it was something very serious. I think a few weeks earlier, somebody had tried to land a parachute or something on one of the major landmarks in New York. Maybe it was the Statue of Liberty. I don't remember. But I sort of had it in my head that it was some small aircraft. It couldn't have been something major. And then I jumped in the shower really quickly, and I was even thinking, I'm going to just cover this little thing and then go about my day to cover the primary election. So I even put on, you know, nice clothes. And it still wasn't really sinking in until I turned on CNN and I saw that there were, in fact, you know, two gaping holes in the Twin Towers. And then I realized, oh, my God, this is something really serious. And I ran as fast as I could to a subway train in order to get to downtown, which is where our office was at the time, and very close to the city hall and the police commissioner's headquarters. So, you know, I was in the civic center within a very short period of time.
Was there any point where you hesitated and thought, I'm heading towards something that could be personally dangerous?
I was very single-minded. I felt like my job, from what my news director told me, was go find the mayor and the police commissioner. And I think I was thinking, well, wherever they are, it's going to be safe. But as I was heading down Park Row, which is just south of City Hall, which is about two blocks north and maybe two blocks east of the World Trade Center area, I was looking up at the two towers, and I was asking the police, do you know for a fact that the mayor is there? Because I was starting to think that's where the mayor's emergency management bunker was, so to speak. It was in 7 World Trade, a big building right next to the Trade Center. And I was thinking, that doesn't seem like a very good place to be right now. And they were telling me, no, no, he's there. He's gone there. But be really careful. There's a lot of falling glass. And I thought, yeah, I better be careful. And I wasn't looking up, thankfully, because I didn't, that way I didn't see people falling or anything horrible like that. I just was trying to look straight ahead. But as I was getting closer, I was, you know, a block or two away, and a police officer, a female police officer, stopped me on the intersection, and she said, I'm sorry, I can't let you go any further. And I was wearing my press pass, and I had my microphone out, and I said, I'm a reporter. I have to get there. The police commissioner is there, or the mayor is there. I need to get there. That's my job. And she said, look, I'm doing this to save your life. And it was as if on cue, as soon as she said that, the South Tower started to collapse. And so I turned on my recording unit and I recorded the sound of the tower going down, and people started running away from it. There was this big cloud of brown and white smoky debris that started blowing east in my direction as the tower went down. And after a few seconds of recording this, I realized if everybody else is running, I should run too. So I started running east and north away from it, and I kept recording what I was seeing and people shrieking and myself, I think, bumping into a car or something. And that's when I was really scared. And then I ran into a coworker of mine, Marianne McCune, who, another reporter at the time at WNYC, she lived in Brooklyn at the time, and she had hitched a ride with somebody on a bicycle. She hitched a ride with him across the Brooklyn Bridge in order to get to, I think it was the Brooklyn Bridge, maybe it was the Manhattan Bridge, one of the bridges. She crossed the East River to get to Manhattan, and she was heading downtown, and she ran into me right outside our office building, which was just a few blocks away from the World Trade Center, and I just started screaming at her, don't go there, don't go there, because I had just seen what was happening. And the two of us turned on our recording units, and we started interviewing people about what they had seen. We didn't really know what we were supposed to do at that time. We had recorded stuff, but we couldn't get back in the building because it was in the, you know, sort of frozen zone at that time. They wouldn't let anybody else into the office building where the radio station was, even though we had a couple of people keeping the station on the air. And miraculously, Marianne's cell phone was working, and we were able to call into the studio because a lot of cell phones were down. And we called in, and I think I played a little bit of what I recorded into my headphones so that it could be heard on the air, and we started bringing survivors that we were interviewing to and witnesses to the phone to talk to our morning anchor about what was happening. And we did that for a good 45 minutes or so through the collapse of the second tower, and then we lost cell phone battery power, and we went to the city's health department, which was another block away, and we were allowed to use their phones, and we were also able to get all the latest information from the city that way in order to stay on the air.
So you were actually reporting within minutes of the towers collapsing. You were on the air.
Yes, I was on the air live as the second tower collapsed, because we were standing there interviewing other observers and, you know, getting them on her cell phone to talk to our anchor. And then we felt the ground rumbling, and it was exactly the way it was when the first tower went down, and I thought, something's going on again. This is happening again. And it was like a subway rumble, and then we saw the second tower coming down. And it was a little scary for our listening audience, I think, because they heard us saying something's happening, and then our cell phone lost power. So I know the people at the radio station were a little concerned, and thankfully we were able to call in shortly afterward from the health department's office to tell them we were okay and to keep broadcasting. But, you know, for a few minutes there, you didn't know what was happening, because you're watching it, but you can't really see it. You know, there's so much smoke. We couldn't see how much of the towers remained, how much was left standing. We couldn't see what had happened to the people inside. You know, we presumed the worst, of course, but we couldn't see very much for ourselves because we were so close, and yet it was still such a confusing situation. There was so much smoke. There was so much stuff in the air, and people were just frozen or running. It was a really surreal experience,
to say the least. And you were likely caught in some of the dust cloud, I assume. You were so close.
Yeah. It was really blowing east over the river back to Brooklyn, and we were a little bit north of it, so we didn't get too covered. But a lot of the people that we were interviewing, they were covered with this white, ashy stuff from fleeing the buildings as they were coming down, or just before they came down, or being nearby after everything came down. And I just remember the dust on everything and the smell of it. You know, there was this kind of burning smell, and, you know, it was metallic smelling, I think. It was a very weird experience, and just all the smoky stuff. I remember seeing firefighters, they jumped into a fountain near the federal court building, because there was this little tiny fountain, but they were totally covered with stuff and they had to wash off. And we were asking them, are you okay, what's happened? And they didn't know what had happened to their colleagues who were still down there. And we started seeing people who were triaging a little bit. You know, there weren't that many people who were injured, because most people, if you didn't walk away from it, you died, unfortunately. But there were a few people who were injured who were being brought to the health department where we were using the phones. And I remember seeing a man who, I guess he had, like, broken his arm, and they did a makeshift splint for him with a ruler and some tape. And his name was Chuck Diaz. He was a sanitation police officer. And we struck up a conversation, and he told me about how he was saved by a woman, a school safety agent, who was using a flashlight to get him out from under some rubble. But it was really so moving seeing all the efforts that people were making to volunteer and to help out in a very confusing situation.
And you were on the air, I assume, for the next 24 hours, probably, at least.
Off and on, yeah, yeah. Marianne and I stayed downtown for a while, and then we split up. She decided she was going to just stay downtown because they were going to make it impossible for people to leave pretty soon for security reasons. So she was going to keep reporting from down there. And I found out where the mayor, former Mayor Rudolph Giuliani, was going to give a press briefing. He was going to the police academy. And there was no mass transit, so I walked. And it was, you know, probably like two miles. Yeah. And I remember walking up Broadway, and there was this big cloud of smoke behind me, and I would keep turning around and looking at it every now and then. Everybody was staring at it as I walked north. And, you know, almost like, is it still there? Did I really see that? Did that really happen? It was very upsetting. You know, Marianne and I, we would tell each other as we took turns reporting, like, hold on, I need a moment to cry, you know, or I'm just kind of falling apart, and we would just sort of take turns. But then once we split up and I kept walking to find the mayor, it was just such a weird feeling, like, wow, this has really happened. We really have a job to do here to tell people what's happened. And so for the rest of that afternoon, I was at the police academy with a whole bunch of other reporters from all around the world who had gone there for Giuliani's first press briefing. And then he updated everybody with, you know, the famous press conference where he said the number of dead will be more than any of us could bear. I remember asking him if we knew what caused the buildings to collapse, because there was so much confusion. People didn't know if there were bombs inside the buildings. Nobody knew at that time that the heat of the fires could cause the steel to melt, and people were also worried about what was in the air, all that stuff in the air. Was there some poison? Was it a chemical attack? You know, there were a lot of unanswered questions in those first few hours, and a lot of fear. And then I spent the night at National Public Radio's bureau on 42nd Street, just pulling together what I had reported. Marianne, I can't remember. She might have gotten her roller skates at that point, or somehow she managed to come uptown to deliver all of the recordings that she did so that we could combine a report for Morning Edition on National Public Radio. But I remember she camped out overnight in order to stay there because she didn't want to lose the ability to keep reporting on what the rescue workers were doing. And I was, at that point, after going to a couple of press conferences, the mayor did another update. I pretty much stayed up all night reporting from there. And over the next few days, we just had to, you know, figure out what is the angle on this as local reporters. You know, do we go to different communities and see how they are dealing with this? Do we go to the hospitals? You know, people were still hoping that their loved ones had lived and that they would find them in the hospitals. It was a heartbreaking time to see all these people passing out flyers with pictures of the missing and candle vigils everywhere. You know, it was a very hard thing to do, to figure out what is your job right now when it's so overwhelming, and what is the story and how do we tell it accurately.
The thing I am still struck by 12 years later, Beth, is how brilliantly all the reporters did that day and in the days that followed, because it was such a horrendous thing to cover. But all the reporters that I heard on the radio, including you and the television reporters who were there, did such a brilliant job of staying calm, not panicking the public, and yet giving such moving reports about it. I'm still in awe of that, frankly.
Well, thank you, but, you know, when you have a job to do, I think it makes it easier. If you just stand there not knowing what you're going to do, you're overwhelmed with everything. But when you're thinking, okay, this is my job, I have to deliver the news, I have to stay rational, it sort of focuses that part of your brain that helps you function and, you know, just do your job.
Today is the 12th anniversary. How are you marking the day?
Honestly, I have thought about it, but as I said, 12 years ago was the Democratic primary. That was going to be our job on September 11th, was to cover this open election. Giuliani was no longer going to be mayor. He was term limited. There were a whole bunch of Democrats running to replace him. And an unknown Republican at the time named Michael Bloomberg, who nobody thought had a chance of winning. And so last night, as I was covering the primary with a whole bunch of Democrats running, my coworker, Andrea Bernstein, who also covered the 9/11 attacks with us at the time, she was saying to me, you know, I feel like we got the primary we never got to have 12 years ago. This time we were up all night, we were covering an election, we were doing what we expected to do, and this became our story, and it sort of distracted me from the whole 9/11 thing. You know, there's another story in the city today. We're going to get a new mayor after 12 years of Michael Bloomberg. People are still thinking about 9/11, but less so. The commemorations are not anything like they used to be. It's a private ceremony where they read the names at Ground Zero, as it's still called. And I think it's definitely a difficult day for a lot of people, especially if you have a family member who died or know somebody. But I think for a lot of New Yorkers, the main story today has been who's going to be our mayor, or what's the legacy of all of this? You know, you look downtown, there's a whole bunch of new buildings now and other new buildings going up, and there's a memorial museum that's going to open in a year or so. I don't know the exact date. But, you know, the city has really changed, and terrorism became a dominant theme of that election 12 years ago. Less so now, you know, we'll see. I don't know how this election's going to go and how much the candidates are going to talk about security and safety. It's been some of the campaign conversation, but it's really been about the economy, the schools. Those are the issues people are talking about. So it's a different city now.
And reporters move on to the next story always.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we think about what happened and where we were, and some of our staff are reporting on the commemoration today, but there's a lot more going on.
Well, I have been speaking with WNYC reporter Beth Furtick. Beth was one of the reporters who was on the scene during the 9/11 attacks 12 years ago today. And Beth, again, thank you for your good work, and thank you so
You're
much
welcome.
For taking time to share with us today the memory
Thanks
of it.
Thanks for having me on.